Out of Sight.net presents Amy Bernal of the Aira Visual Interpreter, hosted by Rich DeSteno at our 9th birthday celebration on January 28th, 2017.
Amy Bernal from Aira, and some of you know about Aira, many of you don't. I'm sure it'd be very interesting to learn, and you may, in fact, want to try it out. So, Amy, I'm going to turn it over to you. There are a bunch of people listening in the room, and they're eager to hear what you have to say. So go ahead.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thanks for having me on this afternoon, and happy birthday to Out of Sight. I hope you guys are having a great birthday celebration. So, as Rich mentioned, I'm Amy, and my title at Aira is Director of Agent Services, which will make a little more sense as I explain the product. So for those of you who have not heard about Aira, we started 2 years ago, and essentially through our CEO and co-founder, who developed a platform that enables a pair of smart glasses, so just glasses that have a camera that emits a live video stream from above the right eye. Through a platform, the live video stream is connected to a real person that we call an Aira agent, and that Aira agent is sitting behind their computer, and they're able to see the live video stream from the glasses, as well as the user's location through Google Maps integration and a bunch of other data points that help them. So our service is essentially a subscription that our users can select, and they're able to tap the app on their smartphone, and that when they launch the app and tap Call Aira, an agent picks up their call and is able to see that live video stream. So our users call in for from everything to, you know, I need to find bus number 20. Can you help me find the closest bus stop and give me some directions to get there? To, you know, my son has a soccer game. Do you mind describing what's going on the field and describing what my son is doing at the soccer game? Grocery shopping, clothes shopping, you know, little quick tasks at home, like is this the furniture polish or the Windex? Sometimes people call in for things on their computer. If a screen reader's not doing a good job of reading. So essentially, we are an information service. We're here right now. We're open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. within the continental U.S. So that's 4 a.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we have users all over the country that essentially call in and work with an agent to do whatever they'd like to do, whatever they need more information about. So one of our core values is obviously, you know, we provide information that to a sighted person would be immediately accessible, but for whatever reason is not accessible to folks that are blind or low vision. And so that's our goal, is to make that immediately accessible to our users. As I mentioned, the company was started 2 years ago by Suman, our CEO, and he was really kind of obsessed with, you know, wearable technology and, you know, live video stream being on a pair of glass. And so what he thought of, he had a friend named Matt Brock, who is blind and lives in Colorado. Suman lives in La Jolla here in San Diego. And Suman shipped Matt a pair of these glasses, and he called him and said, hey, like, I'm shipping you something. Do me a favor, when you get these glasses, take them out and just wear them and give me a call. So Matt did, and Suman was able to describe to Matt what his backyard looked like. And Matt was like, how are you seeing my backyard right now? He was kind of astonished by that, and Suman explained, you know, I've developed a platform that is able to connect to the video that is on the glasses that you're wearing. And so that was like the first IRA session, if you will. And since then, we've done over 2,000 beta trials with different users, mostly in Southern California, but really all over the country, to learn more about how to refine the service. Obviously, how to refine how the glasses can have connectivity. So one of the things that we are doing with our users today is when we ship a pair of glasses, we ship with it an AT&T MiFi device, which is essentially an external hotspot. And so the glass connects to that MiFi device while you're out and about traveling. The glasses can connect to your home Wi-Fi or your office Wi-Fi, but when you're out and about, you know, it would be very inconvenient to continually connect the glasses to the next Wi-Fi network available. So our users just simply, you know, put that in their pocket or their purse or backpack, and their glasses are able to stay connected to the AT&T MiFi device. And it's nice in that the glasses are not consuming any of your own data. Another thing about our application is you can select to stream from the glass or to stream from the phone. So there's sometimes where users, you know, forgot their glasses at home and they're out and about shopping, or maybe they're at home and it's just a really quick thing. They don't want to have to go and get the glasses, turn them on, and put them on. You're able to just stream from the camera that's on your phone, and an agent will connect to you just the same way as when you're wearing the glass, but they will be able to see from the back of your phone. So it's something that I like to mention in terms of, you know, people ask, like, hey, what if I forget my glasses somewhere? Or it's just something really fast. I don't want to turn on any devices or go get them. You're able to use your phone as well. Right now, we have been bringing on our first 200 customers, which we call Explorers. And our Explorers essentially have put down a commitment deposit of $99, and that was before our product was really available. It was before we launched, and we'd done some trials at the NFB convention last July and at some other conferences around the country, and people in trying it said, you know, I want to buy it, and we just weren't ready to launch, you know, to sort of the general public. So through that process, we've brought on about 200 folks that have made that commitment, and we're bringing them on in small batches. And we're doing that, obviously, one, to allow us to understand when people call. We want to staff. We don't want users to wait more than 30 seconds. That's our goal right now. And so in order to achieve that, you can imagine we have to be really precise with how we staff our agents. And so we're still learning, you know, what the peak times are that people use IRA throughout the week. So that's one of the reasons we're bringing people on smaller batches. And two, we really request from our explorers a lot of feedback. They're helping us, one, discover issues or bugs that you know, the engineering team hadn't found on their own, and two, you know, enabling us to refine the service from their feedback. And so right now, we're bringing on users that have already brought, you know, become explorers and sent that commitment deposit in. And we hope to have everyone onboarded by mid-March, and then we would be able to sort of open up our doors to the rest of the general public. So if someone was wanting to sign up for IRA today, they would still sign up to become an explorer, but you would not receive your glasses until probably late March. Just wanted to be upfront about that. Some of the other questions that I usually get from people are around, you know, how are the agents trained? And that's something we really value and are proud of in terms of our agents' performance. And they go through a pretty rigorous screening process before we even interview our agents. They take an online test. How good are they at navigating on Google Maps? How good are they at communicating? And obviously, you know, the kind of customer service and person that you would want to, you know, take shopping with you, or sometimes spend, you know, an hour or more on in a session with. And then after they've pass the online test, we obviously go through in-person interviews or video conference interviews, and then we go through some kind of high-level orientation and mobility training with the agents in terms of, think of the vocabulary that they would need to learn, truncated domes, trailing your cane, just really the basics for them to understand how to best communicate with our users. And we also do a lot of one-on-one role playing. So we have, first we start with our own IRA staff that, you know, act as a user and work with the agents in training. Then we have some friends and advisors of the company who are blind and are able to be more close to our real user experience that offer to train our agents. So they go through all of those sessions before they are able to actually, you know, work with our explorers. Agents are also trained to keep their opinions or value judgments out of the conversation. So really highlighting that this is an information service, and it's really about how can agents give you the most best and most objective information to allow the user to make a decision for themselves. A classic example that Mike Kingston, who's one of our advisors, always gives is when he goes to a restaurant, if he asks, you know, can I have a menu? If there's not a Braille menu option available, and he asks the server, you know, can you tell me what's on the menu? Sometimes the server will respond back, well, what do you feel like eating? And Mike says, well, I don't know, because I don't know everything that's on the menu. And so we give that example to our agents of, you know, don't ask the user what are they looking for, but, you know, ask if they should just start reading the whole menu or if there's something specific the user would like the agent to look for. So another important thing about our agent training is leveraging the user profile of each of our explorers and the level of detail preference that the user has for agents to know how to communicate. Because some of our explorers really, you know, are more kind of efficient or to the point and task-driven and don't really want to know the color of the carpet or if the sky has clouds in it. But some of our users are really delighted by those facts. So we really try to have agents focus on that user profile and communicate to the user the way that the user would like. And we tell users, you know, give feedback during the session. If an agent's not giving you enough detail or information, or if they're giving you too much, just let them know and they'll adjust the way that they're communicating. Obviously, our agents sign a privacy agreement, so anything that they see during a session is under that privacy agreement. That's another question that I get sometimes. Also about just certain situations where you wouldn't want an agent to have any access to the video stream. There is a privacy mode in our application that you can just, you go into the app and select privacy mode and the video and audio will no longer be available to the agent. So instead of just ending the call, you can enable privacy mode and the agent's no longer able to see or hear anything that's going on. I'm trying to think of anything else that I get asked frequently. Maybe, does anyone have any questions at this time?
Well, previous to the, you know, the last couple days, I had asked people to send any questions. There were two particular questions that came up. Mary Kay from Florida, one of our members, asked if the minutes purchase can be rolled over.
We roll minutes over for 3 months. So if you don't use all of your minutes, they're rolled over for 3 months' time.
And one of our members from Canada was wondering if it's available in Canada or is it just the U.S. Business?
We have two explorers that will be onboarded in Canada, and they know that we haven't had one yet, so they'll be the first two. So we are accepting explorers in Canada, but, you know, I'll be honest, until we have them come on board, it won't be thoroughly tested. So it really is just as long as your cell phone provider, you know, works well and has coverage, then, you know, there's nothing about our service that's unique to the U.S. So we think it'll be great.
Now, if I heard you correctly, you said that it's available from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.?
That's right, in the continental U.S. So we say that for simplicity, but really agents are staffed from 4 a.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're an East Coaster, that means, 7 a.m. is when agents start, but then you could really call in until 10 p.m.
Okay. And yeah. Just go over for me I think you said the camera's over the right eye?
That's correct.
Just go over, I'm trying to comprehend, how that image gets from your glasses to the person directing you. How does that, what's the chain of connection there?
Yeah, so it's web over RT or web RTC, and the agents have a voice over IP connection. So it's just simply the glass, the software that we developed, the platform that we've developed, carries that video stream from the glass to the software platform that the agent is logged into, which we call the IRA Agent Dashboard.
But if I'm out in the middle of a field somewhere, how does that connection get made? That's what I don't.
Oh, that's why we provide the AT&T MiFi device.
Glass,
when we ship you the glass, it's configured to connect to that MiFi device. Some of our users say, well, I want to add my home Wi-Fi network or my office Wi-Fi network, and so they're able to do that, but we try and kind of lock it down as much as possible before we ship it so that when you open your box and open the glass and turn the MiFi on, then the glass is just simply connected to that MiFi device.
I assume the camera requires an energy source. So there's a battery in this?
That's right. And so the glass battery today lasts roughly 4 hours when you're in session with an agent. So if that video stream is on and going, then it would last roughly 4 hours. However, if you are in a session and then you end the session with the agent, you could have the glasses on for most of the day. And then when they're folded, you can fold the glasses and they go to sleep. When they're folded and asleep, they can stay fully, charged and powered on for over 24 hours. Some of our users said, yeah, I've left my glasses on and just folded for like 3 days and they didn't completely die. But so there is a battery in the glass, and you do, charge it every night, just like your cell phone.
Now, for the vain among us, of course, that's not me, but for the vain among us, what are the cosmetic considerations for this?
Yeah, so the glass is pretty small and sleek. It's just like a wire frame on one side. There's a titanium wire frame on the right side that is extremely thin. Think of like a pasta noodle, like a dry pasta noodle. It would be that size. And then on the right-hand side, that's the stem that has like the computing power and the battery in it. And I would say it's roughly half an inch in width. And then there is just that camera that kind of wraps over the top of the right frame. So they come without a lens. We're able to add shades if a user requests, but most of our users prefer to just add them on top of if you already wear, your favorite pair of sunglasses, or if you have other glasses, they just wear them on top of those glasses.
Now, I have this fantasy that someday science will invent electronic eyes that can be implanted in the head of a blind person and connected to the brain so that they actually look like eyes. Nobody could even tell the difference. But the ironic thing would be that these eyes would be super, super eyes. You could see farther than any normal person could see. You could see, through things maybe. I don't know. But anyway, with this camera on these glasses, How would the distance and sharpness, let's say maybe, or accuracy, how would that compare to somebody with 20/20 vision? Is it not as good? Is it better?
I would, it's not better than 20/20 vision in terms of, you know, the clarity of the range of vision. I would say it really depends on the connectivity of where you're at. If you, you know, everyone knows on your cell phone the bars that show your, the strength of your connectivity go up and down. If you're full 5 bars, then yeah, the video quality is much, you know, it's the same essentially as vision or any sort of video or camera that you would use. If you're in a place where the reception, the connectivity of the glass is, you know, 1 to 2 bars, then you're going to have a more pixelated, granular image, okay, just right. like anything. In terms of, you know, range of distance, I don't know the exact number of feet, but for example, if a user is crossing the street and it's like 6 lanes of traffic, the agent's usually able to see if it's a orange hand that's like a don't walk or a white pedestrian crossing signal. But beyond, you know, could you see and read a sign that was, you know, half a mile away? No, that's not the level. So one of the things that we have added to the dashboard is the ability to snap a photo, and then you're able to zoom into that photo. So, you know, if the video quality is degraded due to the connectivity, the agent may snap a photo of, you know, a label or a price tag, and then they're able to zoom in for a better, you know, better ability to read the price or small fine print.
Okay, and I guess my last question is, I remember from when I could see, if you're walking out at night and the sun, you know, the sun's gone down, it's, I don't know, like say 9 o'clock in the east on a winter's night, and let's say there's street lamps, maybe there's some moonlight, you can see enough to get, you know, to get by with that kind of light. Would that condition be enough to use the glasses with just like some street light and maybe some moonlight?
Yeah, I would say it's very similar to people that are sighted in terms of, could the agent see the sidewalk beneath you if there were street lights? Absolutely. Would they be able to have a clear view of the people that are approaching you? No, because likely that person is shadowed if the light's behind them. So the video camera is effective like any camera is. If the light, the sun or light is shining directly into the camera, then the objects around it are in a shadow. So, you know, the ability to distinguish color is less, for example.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can access the room and see if anybody has a question.
It's Debbie. Hi, Amy. I just wanted to say hello, and I'm one of the Aira explorers. I've had a great experience with it. I've gone on 2 explorations. I walked in my neighborhood by myself. The agent, I also went, there's a lake right by my house. I walked around the lake, and she was describing the ducks and all the different things that were happening as we were walking, describing the houses and things like that. I had never walked around that lake by myself before, so that was really cool. The other day, I went to a store to purchase a couple items, hooked up with Aira, and, you know, got to purchase those items. Things had to be read to me, and she would tell me, you know, tuck your head down a little bit, look a little bit to the left, and just tell me whatever. And in parts of the store where it was, you know, not as good Wi-Fi or whatever, you know, then she would snap a picture and read it to me. So it was a great experience. I'm looking forward to using it more, and I'm coming up with more really cool things to do to just explore by myself. So thanks, Aira. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much for sharing those stories, Debbie. It's so fun to hear the different ways that our explorers use Aira. So thanks for that.
Hi, this is Brenda in Arkansas. I used to volunteer for an app where people sent pictures in, and you would say what was on the picture and send it back to them, kind of in a similar format. Do you do that with your company? Are there any volunteers? Is it going to be around the world? Or is it just like a center there where people have to come in to work? Because I know a lot of people who would be very interested in helping in this sort of a way.
Yeah, so great question. And we do not have volunteers per se, but I am hiring agents currently. We have a blend of agents located in San Diego where our main office is, and then we have agents that work remotely on the East Coast and in Ohio as well as Northern California. So the reason that we don't have volunteers, I mean, it's something that we're looking at doing if people would want to volunteer. But for now, you know, we really train our agents, as I talked about earlier, you know, pretty rigorously, and it's a big time commitment. And then also, you know, our users, as paying for the service, expect an agent to pick up, you know, any time that they call and very quickly. And so with a volunteer base, you cannot necessarily, you know, ensure that that's going to happen unless you had, you know, millions and millions of volunteers. So right now we do obviously pay our agents and schedule them to be available. We schedule them based on our projected call volume. But I can imagine absolutely a day where we actually have, you know, a specific subscription model where you're able to work with volunteers or even friends or family, you know, that could act as agents. That's something on our product roadmap. But today we really use only IRA agents that are heavily trained and paid. And if you do know someone that would be interested, as I mentioned, I'm hiring agents currently, and you can go to our website, which is www.aira.io, and you'll find on the career section of our website that there is an agent position open right now. So would love any referrals you can make.
Hi, Amy. I'm wondering, as you're walking along with these glasses, and obviously, I guess you're talking to the agent on your phone, and they're talking to you back over your phone. I'm wondering, you know, one question is, can you just use the AT&T hookup that you send along, or do you always have to use the glasses? I know you said that if you forget them, you can use the iPhone camera, and that would probably be what I would do. Also, I'm wondering, can you tell us how much this is going to cost?
What I understood is, you know, if you didn't have the glasses, could you just use the phone? And that's absolutely right. You can stream from phone. Today, we do not have any plans available that are without the glass. That's something that we're looking at for the future. So anyone that signs up as an explorer essentially would receive a pair of glasses. And the audio is always through the phone, even if you are wearing the glasses. We have the ability to have like an all-in-one setup where the audio comes through the glass. However, the headphones that are proprietarily made for the glasses just don't work very well for traveling. They go completely in your ear and don't leave any room for you know, hearing ambient noise. So most of our users, I would say 90% of our users, use a Bluetooth or bone conduction headphones that they prefer, so that they, you know, when they're traveling, are still able to hear all of the traffic noise, ambient noise, all of those things. And then in terms of our pricing, so we are releasing new pricing in the month of February, and what we will be releasing will have a plan that is under $100 a month. I don't know the exact price, so I don't want to quote that, but we will have a new plan that's under $100 in February. But today we have two plans. one that is $129 a month, and that is for 400 minutes for our explorers. The last plan is $199 a month, and it's for unlimited minutes.
Would you ever consider having like a pay-per-use or pay-as-you-go option instead of needing to buy, let's say, the $400 minutes every month, which some people may not use all of that?
Okay.
Yep, that's one of the things that our team is considering, the pay-per-use. Absolutely.
It sounded like your battery life was pretty good, but I'm a bit of a battery fanatic. You know, I carry 2.5 cell phone batteries with me every time I leave the house. Can both of these devices be recharged off of the USB battery pack?
Yep. So the glasses have a USB port at the end of the charger. One side of the charger that connects to the glass is a magnetic port, much like a MacBook. It's a bit finicky and actually not one of our favorite things about the glasses we've heard from our users. But the other end of the charger is like an unsheathed USB, just like your iPhone, for example, plugs into the unit that goes in your wall. That's the same thing that the glass has. So when we ship it out, it has the ability to, you know, be plugged into the USB to like the socket, or you could just plug it in directly to a USB charger. And the MiFi device is the same way as well.
Hey there, Amy. This is Mike in North Carolina. This is so encouraging. I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing. I've been waiting for something like this for, you know, 30, 40 years now. And I have a question about, what about solar powered? You know, would that be a possibility?
Yeah, I think, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of possibilities. That's the fun thing about technology. I would say, you know, that's not my area of expertise. It'll probably come down to, you know, the best science and technology that gets us to smaller and more powerful and long-lasting batteries. And that'll either be solar or it'll be, you know, something else. But, you know, obviously we would want our glasses to have the best and smallest battery or solar capabilities. I think that's a great idea.
It's Debbie again. I just think it'd be great if Amy talked about the partnership between NFB and AFB and also the awards won at CES.
Amy?
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie's like my right-hand person today helping me out.
She's your straight man, right?
I guess so. So we do have a partnership with NFB and AFB, and we have also partnered with some of the lighthouse organizations around the country, Seattle, San Francisco, to name a few. And, you know, part of why we have partnerships is we really value learning from the experts in the field. And, you know, we've had so much mentorship as a company from many, many people that have gone before us in terms of advocacy and research. And so definitely early on, Suman really reached out to those organizations and, you know, sought out people that have been pilot users of products many times, because we really knew that there's a lot of companies or products that make claims that maybe don't realize when users actually purchase them, or, you know, there are concerns about products that may create a dependence or really, I don't know, just not in the full scheme of things be helpful. And so we've really worked as a company to continually learn and adapt and ensure that the way we train our staff and our agents and everything in our product development is really aligned with what's best for the community. In terms of our awards at CES, we won most innovative product, I believe, from the CES organization. And we were actually able to go to CES because the CTA Foundation, you know, granted us a booth space there. We had to apply and were selected to have a booth in Eureka Park. So we're just really, really proud. And we were also featured at the AT&T Developer Summit as one of the partners. We're working with them on how we could prioritize, eventually have, you know, traffic prioritized between our users and agents. And we're not quite there yet, but we're working with AT&T to make that happen. So we're just really proud and excited and really, you know, honored and blessed by all of the great people that have come alongside of us and helped us make Aira a reality.
There's no lens with the glasses, but for people with low vision, they might be sensitive to sunlight. Could you put like a sunglass, some kind of sunglasses in there with a tint?
Yeah. Yes. So there are shades available that we can provide. Or as I mentioned, some of our users, you know, prefer the sunglasses that they already wear. And so they just wear the Aira glass on top of the sunglasses.
This is Glenn. Do you encourage people that that are going to use Aira to that they understand that this is not something that they should depend on without their canes and other mobility devices? Because I know some people, they're looking for something that they can use to not use their canes. Do you encourage them to use their devices?
I'm so glad you asked that question because I forgot to mention that. We actually require our users to use their cane or dog, whatever mobility aid that they are used to using. We actually require them to use it when they're in session with an agent. And so we train our agents. If someone calls in without either of those, they need to make sure they look in their profile and assure that the person is low vision and works without a cane or a dog. Otherwise, you know, the agent will ask that they go grab that because, well, one, you can imagine for a myriad of reasons. One, you know, we're not ever going to replace the skills that our users have and have refined over years of time. And, you know, if, let's say you're out and about and your glass battery died on you and you were without an agent, you obviously would need to make your way home how you would normally. And so we absolutely require that our users work with their cane or dog.
Is VA been working with you or indeed for their for our veteran as well? And so what are you guys offering to the veteran?
You guys are asking the best questions because it's all the things I forgot to mention in my talk. Yes, we are. We just did our very first pilot in early December with the Veterans Administration, the Western Line Rehabilitation Center in Palo Alto. We had our first trial with some of their staff and two of their blind and low vision staff. And we're actually traveling in a couple of weeks to North Carolina to do another pilot with some of the blind and low vision staff there. So our goal as a company would be to have this as one of the VA benefits, one of the, you know, devices that can be prescribed through the VA, as well as, you know, any other vision healthcare provider. So that's absolutely something that we're working towards as a staff and really working at it seriously because, you know, we want our product to be the most accessible it can be. And so obviously for it to be, you know, supplementally, partially, or fully paid by a healthcare provider would be ideal.
I'm wondering, you mentioned that the little thing that comes with the glasses is AT&T, but will that work with any iPhone, or does it have to be AT&T iPhone?
Yep, it works with any phone. It's just what the glasses will connect to. So they'll connect to, and it's just a Wi-Fi. So, you know, your phone even could connect to the AT&T Wi-Fi because it's just a Wi-Fi network. So just like you could add any Wi-Fi network to your cell phone, even if you're a Verizon or a Sprint user, it's the same concept.
I was wondering, why just one camera on one side? Why don't they have it on both sides?
Both sides cameras, why not?
Because we haven't made our own glasses yet. We absolutely would want to do that when we make our own glass. The one that we purchase and put the software on has has just one camera. So there's a lot of smart glasses out in the market, and we're excited as we have started to research and have conversations with four or five of the best, and we look forward to having a different glass someday when we're ready to do that. And I just want to say a few things in closing aside. Thanks again for Debbie and everyone for inviting me today, and happy birthday for the podcast. And if you are interested for yourself or for someone else, you can go onto our website, which is www.aira.io/explorer. And that is where you'd be able to sign up yourself as an explorer. Or if you're on the website and you have, more questions that you didn't get to ask today, then you can just contact us via the website, and someone from our team will give you a call and talk to you one-on-one about any of the questions that you have.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Amy, and giving us a good summary of the IRA system. I think this is cutting-edge technology. We're experiencing the very beginning of something that is going to be very, very important, I think, for all blind and visually impaired as time goes on. And so thanks, and have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.